we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God. And today is Election Day here in Brevard County, and we're going to have just a word of prayer here in a moment about that. But if you are registered to vote, God is smart enough to tell you how you should vote. And so I want to encourage you to make it a matter of prayer. I know that a lot of people this year are saying, I'm just not going to vote for either one of them. And I want to encourage you that that wasn't an option for Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. And then he was faced with a predicament where he had to decide between two morally flawed individuals concerning a claim to which baby was alive. Both of them had checkered sexual pasts, and one of them was a liar and neglectful and a thief. And they didn't have everything at their disposal that we had today where you could do a DNA test. What Solomon did have was he had the wisdom that he had prayed and asked God for, and God endowed him with that wisdom. And that wisdom was not just for possession, it was for application. And so today, I just want to encourage you to be praying. And if you haven't cast your vote, take advantage of that opportunity. I tell people that if you don't vote, you lose the privilege of complaining. Not that we should be complaining anyway, but there are a lot of elections taking place, Senate. There's judges that are being affirmed or repositioned, and so you have to vote on those and a number of other races. And so let's take a moment and pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, and we ask, oh God, for your wisdom and your insight. Lord, we need a country that is built and based upon you, upon your word, your timeless word, your never-ending word, your word that will never pass away. God, today we come to you as children of the Most High God, and we ask for wisdom. We ask for wisdom the same manner in which Solomon asked for wisdom, that who can lead this great people without your assistance? And God, I pray today that this would be a peaceful election. I pray that you would bring this country back to the foot of the cross. Lord, that you would draw your people back to yourself. Lord, politics is not the answer to the division that is plaguing this country. Jesus is. And so we ask you, Lord God, to take your rightful place, to take the throne, and that you would rule in righteousness, that you would rule in integrity, that you would rule in power. And Lord, we pray for peace. Lord, that there's going to be a lot of people, excuse me, who are upset one way or the other. And I pray, God, that we would cry out to you and that you would be our peace, our source of unsurpassed, inexplainable peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you for tuning in today. We are going to be turning to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 is a great passage of Scripture. By the way, no matter who wins the election, we're having church tomorrow night, unless the rapture takes place, and then I'm not going to be there. So we encourage you to come out. Children's ministry starts at 6. We do have a kids event that is coming up next Wednesday night. It is going to be a harvest party type festival, even though a lot of those harvest parties, I don't really have a name for you at this point in time that, you know, was nice and catchy and all of that sort of stuff. But it's going to be a time for the kids to celebrate. That's going to be on the 16th of November. And so if you want to come out, have a great time, and have your kids learn about Jesus, we encourage you to bring them out November the 16th, 6 o'clock. There'll be food. The party itself will start at 6:30 and go till 7:45. So that is coming up. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 1. Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce? Whom I have put away, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and your transgressions, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there no one, or was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the seas, I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from your hand. You shall lie down in torment. So there are several different sections to this. There are particular chapter in Isaiah chapter 50. The first part begins to deal with the price tag that sin and iniquity has in our life. And so I want to read that to you again. Where is the certificate of your mother's divorce? Whom have I put away? Or to which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? There are a lot of people that are of the mindset that God has put them away, done away with them, that he sees them as hopeless and helpless, and he has just written them off. I want you to know, God says, show me the proof of that. Show me the proof. You see, in those days, if you were indebted to someone, they could take you down, they could take possession of you and sell you to another person. They could treat you like a slave, sell you to the highest bidder to resolve your indebtedness. And God says, where is the evidence that I have done that to you? Where is it that I have given up on you, that I have said, I am done with you, I am never going to have anything to do with you again? Where is the evidence of that? I'm here to declare to you today that even though we have sinned against God, God still has not written us off. God is, if I can put it in these terms, an eternal optimist. He believes in you. He believes in the power of the Holy Spirit working in you to bring you to that place of repentance where you will recognize the goodness of God, recognize the provision of God, and avail yourself of the blessings thereof. Where is the evidence? God says, show me the documentation. Earlier this year, I couldn't find the copy of our marriage license, and our driver's licenses are coming up for renewal next year. And for me, it's a relatively easy process. I just have to take in a copy of my birth certificate, and blam, I get a driver's license. But my wife, she has to show the documentation that says there was a status change in her life and her name that she was born with is no longer the name by which she goes by. It's no longer her legal name. It's her maiden name, but we got to show documentation saying, yes, here is the event that took place that created this status change in my life. And I'm very thankful that she said yes to that decision. And God says, all I want is some simple proof. Where is the receipt? Where is the document that says, I have given up on you? Today, no matter how bleak your situation may look, tomorrow, no matter if your candidates won or if they lost, I've been on both sides of the equation, God will still be God. Now, he changes tactics with how he deals with us, but he deals with us in whatever strategy needs to be employed so that we will come to that place of repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation to God. Which would you have him use? As for me, I've had this discussion before, and that is, I want the still small voice. There were times when God would be correcting me over little bitty issues in my life, and he still does. And at that point in time, there were people who were having grievous sins. I mean, on a large scale. And my prayer went something like this: God, why are you dealing with me over this little issue? And there are other people with major, blaring, rebellious activities against you. Why are you not correcting them? And he said, see, now I don't know how God speaks to other people. I just know how he speaks to me. And he is interested in refining me and making me into the best man that he could possibly make me. He wants me to be a man of virtue and a mighty man of valor. He wants to make me godly. He wants to make me holy. And he said, is that really what you want? Do you really want me not dealing with the little bitty issues in your life? You want me to stay silent for that until those little issues become major issues? Is that really what you want? And at that point in time, I realized that, no, that's not what I want. I would rather God deal with me in the still small voice than in the language of a 2x4 or captivity. You see, when I was a child, it didn't take me receiving physical correction very many times till I realized I didn't like that at all. And so my parents, all they needed to do to spark a change of behavior in me was just give me a look. Just say, you know what, this is not good. And I would do my best to remedy that situation. It doesn't mean I was perfect. But I did a great deal of effort to realize that I didn't want to have to be corrected on a big time scale. And so God says, it's not me that has separated myself from you. It's not me that has written you off. It's not me that has divorced you. Instead, he says, for your iniquities, you have sold yourselves, and your transgressions, your mother has been put away. He said, I wasn't the one that put you on the auction block. You were. There is a philosophy in this world that says everyone has their price. Everyone is for sale. Everyone has a price tag. And I want you to know that that should not be true of the Christian, because you and I have already been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture says you are not your own. You are bought with a price, and it was a very high price. In the Old Testament, there's the story of Hosea and his wife Gomer. And all of the ladies out there are thankful that they weren't named Gomer. Whenever I read that, I think of Gomer Pyle from Mayberry RFD. And so here is this man, this prophet, and his wife, and she is an unfaithful woman. She has everything that she could want, and instead of enjoying that and enjoying the children that God gives to her, she goes and she becomes a harlot. She becomes a prostitute, and she leaves her husband and leaves her family, abandons them, and goes to pursue these relationships, and each time the relationship breaks up and it leaves her more fractured. It leaves her more broken than she was before. And as happens to all of us, age begins to wear on this body. You know, our bodies, we have to take care of them. If you abuse them, they are going to manifest the signs of those stress. And so there are things that you need to avoid in your life, because they are going to, it's going to have a negative effect on your body. And someone told me probably 20 years ago, close to 20 years ago, they said the lowest quality of life has the highest price tag. And since this woman, Gomer, had pursued this very difficult road, it began to manifest in the way that she appeared. And her appearance was all that she had going for her. And so she had one broken relationship, but she didn't have as much to offer. And so the next time that she was bartered off or sold, it wasn't for quite as much. And finally, she had deteriorated to such an extent that nobody would have her. And she ended up on the auction block because now they weren't taking care of her. They looked at her as a liability and they said, "This is a piece of property that I own." By the way, I want you to realize that God does not view you as a piece of property. You weren't purchased to be a commodity in the kingdom of God. You are the desire of the God of the kingdom. He longs for you. Not for you to say "my master" as a possession, but to say "my friend, my father, and my God. You are the lover of my soul." So these people treated women like commodities, and I will never understand the appeal that certain religious systems have to women that treat them like possessions instead of vessels of honor to carry the glory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You need today to realize that God has the greatest purpose and joy in living in your life. The reason he is a jealous God is not because he is jealous of other relationships in your life. He is jealous for you, that knowing that living with him and for him is the greatest benefit that could ever be in your life. He is jealous for your benefit. And yet there are some people who are drawn to bad boys and bad women, and there are people who are drawn to religious systems that will dictate to them what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, when they're going to do it. And they value being treated like a piece of property. And that may work when you're young, but there's going to come a time when the society will say, "You know what? You have served your purpose for me, and now it's time for me to dispose of you." You see, God's not into disposable relationships. He's not into disposable people. He doesn't view you as expendable. He views you as a precious person, the person that Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die for. That's what and so the last person says, "I've gotten everything I can out of her, and so I'm going to put her up on the auction block." And Hosea is commanded by God to go and buy her in the public square at the auction block. And he pays the price for the woman who has been unfaithful to him. And he says, "You will not call me my master. You will call me your husband." You see, he didn't buy her as a piece of property. And Hosea makes it clear that entire scenario was reflective of the way that God deals with his people. That when we have sold ourselves according to our iniquity, according to our transgressions, sin has this transactional price that says, I've got to go and I've got to pursue this horrible lifestyle. And he says, you've sold yourselves, but the cross is evidence that Jesus has not given up on you. The cross is evidence that God has not given up on Brevard County. The cross is evidence that God has not given up on the United States of America, and he's not given up on this world. The cross is the proof that God is willing to buy, to purchase, to redeem a broken and hurting people. And so today, I just want to share that word with you today. If you feel beat up by the enemy, if you feel like you are condemned, if you today feel the least little bit of inkling that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, the enemy will come in with that and he'll say, see there, God's disappointed in you and God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. That's what the devil will say. And even though God is disappointed when we reject his words, when we reject his ways, he is not disappointed to the point that he is willing to give up on us. You see, the Holy Spirit is there to deal with you. He's there to deal with you when you walk away, like in Luke chapter 15, from the Father's house and the Father's mission and the Father's blessing. You walk away from all of that and say, this is my inheritance. I will do with it whatever I want. And the Holy Spirit was there watching him when he was squandering all of his resources in riotous living with his celebrations and his immoral lifestyle that he was living. He was the life of the party as long as he had money. But the Holy Spirit knew that there was a person there that was worth more than money. And when the parties were over and the money was gone and the fame and the popularity, and now nobody wanted to have anything to do with him, and a person hired him to do a menial task, to hang around with a bunch of unclean animals and feed them slop. And he was so hungry and so neglected that he desired to eat what the pigs were eating. And I tell you, I've been on pig farms. It's not pretty. It is just a horrific. My wife and I, we were driving from Chicago through a state that shall remain nameless, but they have a lot of pig farms. And we were coming through there in the fall, and the air was kind of heavy, and it was blowing in a direction, and we were saying, what in the world is that horrific smell? And then we came across some pig farms, and it was terrible. It was terrible. And this man was so hungry that he said, I'll eat what they're eating. And the Holy Spirit began to work in that situation. And it says, and he came to himself and said, my Father treats his lowest servants better than I'm being treated here. I'll go back not as a son, but I will go back and ask my Father for a job. If I can just be a servant, if I can just be a hired hand there, my life will be so much better than this. And so he began the journey. But listen, his journey began by saying this, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. You see, the way that we come back to the Father, the way that we deal with this separation that our sin causes, that God didn't cause, but we did, the way that we deal with that is that we come to the place of repentance and we say, God, I'm guilty. Today, I want to tell you, repentance is not a horrible thing. Repentance is a blessing. It is a gift from God. A gift from God to restore us to relationship. The Father would have absolutely none of this. I will be a servant. He called for the fatted calf. He called for a robe. He called for a ring. He called for shoes. He called for a celebration. But he called for all of that after the Son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And the Father wasn't there to condemn him. The Father was there to say, welcome home, my son. Today, if you're listening, I want you to know that there's a decision to be made today that is very, very important. Yes, the election is important, but the most important decision you could do today is to vote to come home to Jesus Christ. To say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I have rebelled against your way. I have transgressed your laws. But today I look to Jesus, who upon the cross paid a price so that I could be forgiven. Would you forgive me? And would you be the Lord of my life? If you are listening today and sin has separated you, or if you've got a family member that is separated, I want you to begin to cry out in faith today and say, Holy Spirit, overtake them by the grace of Almighty God. Bring them to their right minds today so that they can return to you. Why don't you say this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I love you. I am so sorry that I rejected your ways and rejected your word and rejected you. I have chosen my ways, and my ways were wrong. Would you please forgive me? Would you come into my heart? Would you be the Lord of my life? Would you renew my mind? Would you cause me to remember the goodness and the greatness of God? Would you lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake? Would you forgive me for trying to insist on my way when your way was such a better way? God, today, I want to thank you for not giving up on me. I want to thank you for forgiving me and leading me in triumphal procession from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer today, if you'd contact us at 321-454-4263, we would love to hear from you. We would love to be able to put some information in your hand that would help you in your relationship with Jesus. And if we can be a blessing to you, call us at that number or send us an email, meritassembly@hotmail.com, and we will send you out this information absolutely free of charge. For those of you who have loved ones who are not walking in a path of love with Jesus Christ, you continue to pray for them. You cry out on their behalf and say, Holy Spirit, overtake them with your grace. We're going to close this program today with this. Father, would you have mercy on America? Would you be our foundation? Would you lead us and guide us today to your heart? In Jesus' name, God bless you. You have a marvelous Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Be